former boss of Robert Brownlee, Ben Kuzma, joins us. Ben, how you doing?
Yeah, some of those records will be sealed forever.
Yeah. Well, now, is this a true story? Ruben, or Ruben, as I like to call him, was telling me that when he went for the job interview with you, it actually consisted of you guys going out for beverages.
Absolutely.
So a real hard-hitting, serious hiring process.
You take the edge off. Find out the true character of somebody. And let me tell you, Robin could go with the best of them.
How many cigarettes did he have during that first meeting? That would be that's my number one question. Like a whole pack?
It's part of his contract.
Hey, Coos.
Something. We call them darts, yeah.
Yeah, that was quite the interview. I rather enjoyed it.
We had great times. And, you know, it's funny. You look around the league, and like you referenced, a lot of NHL beat writers cut their teeth there in Little Montreal in Kamloops. And it's an unfortunate situation that the daily newspaper is not around anymore. You know, largest city in the country without a daily newspaper. That's unfortunate. But it was good to work there. I'm sure Robin would agree. You learn to cover everything and everybody, and you're better for it.
The Vancouver Canucks, in midst of the dogfight race in the Western Conference, they've won three in a row, and you can't really get any breathing room. They're only they are 4 points up on LA, for the final playoff spot, so that's a benefit to them. But how tense are times in Vancouver right now?
Well, they're tense, but I think they're exciting. I mean, you talk about a team that basically flamed out last year under John Tortorella, and the embers are still kind of smoldering around town. You know, there are empty seats at Rogers Arena down in the lower bowl. I mean, you know, you don't make the playoffs, you go out in five games, or you get swept. It adds up. There's an effect there. But I think the interesting thing here in Vancouver, two things. It's a competitive club, and quite honestly, guys, you don't know which team's going to show up in a given night. If it's a top feeder, if it's, you know, big dogs are in town, the Canucks we'll measure up. On the weekend in L.A., at the Saturday afternoon game at Staples, I thought that was probably one of their best games of the year. Yet the next afternoon in Arizona, I mean, they did fire 44 shots, but they had to press hard to get it done against a team that's, you know, kind of in the Connor McDavid sweepstakes. And sustainability is a big problem here in Vancouver. It's an older club. I mean, it is transitioning. They are bringing in some younger players like Bo Horvat, who's having a great rookie year. But you're trying to get back to the playoffs, and you're trying to get younger and better at the same time. So maybe that has a lot to do with it. Some nights where they look great, and then the next night you're kind of scratching your head and wondering how they lost to Arizona or Buffalo or whoever.
Yeah, I mean, Ben, this club still is capable of being very uneven, like you say.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, they're playing pretty reasonable hockey when it matters the most. Yeah. The last 10-game stretch is pretty good. The one thing I look at is this. The Canucks can't do anything the way they did it 5 years ago.
Yeah.
This is a different club. The best players are older. It seems to me Willie DeJardin, after a nightmare last season under a different coach, has at least put pieces in place and put people in the right spots to at least make this team competitive again.
No, that's a great point, because, you know, when they signed Radim Vrbata in the offseason to a 2-year deal at $5 million per, and really, if you look at it, his 29 goals right now, he's probably the best free agent acquisition of any club in the summer. Well, he started the year with the Sedins, and the big thing that I like about Willie DeJardin's guys is, you know, coaches will talk in September about playing four lines, and you know as well as me, as soon as they start losing, they shorten the bench. He never did that. He's played his fourth line 10, 12, 14 minutes a night. And this is the maturation, the quick maturation of a kid like Bo Horvat, who's always been pretty good away from the puck, always good in the circle, smart defensively. But, you know, he was thrown into the fire. I can remember road trips in November where he'd be up against Kopitar, Getzlaff, and learning on the fly, yet keeping his faceoff percentage up around 55%. Well, what happened there? That transitioned into a lot of confidence, and suddenly, you know, after the All-Star break, Horvat's not dumping the puck in. He's carrying it in. And he's had a real remarkable push here in the second half, where the fourth line has been as good as the first line on a lot of nights here in Vancouver. And, you know, getting the Sedins under 20 minutes a game, they're averaging actually under 19, has meant everything to this club, because, you know, they've only lost one game in regulation when they've led after two periods this year. So they're fresher. They spread out the scoring. They'll play Verbata with the Twins occasionally. They'll play Zach Cassian. They'll play Alex Burrows, who will be on that line again tonight. So when you don't have a lot of top-end talent, you know, it's really imperative to spread it out, and I'll give Desjardins credit for that. He gives everybody a chance to play, and it's a real collective effort right now. And you got 10 guys in double-digit scoring. You know what happens in the postseason. The big dogs are going to get shut down, and you need goals from unexpected sources, and they've got enough of those guys on the roster.
Ben Kuzma joins us. The Canucks overall, you know, Cassian came back and was on fire, and do they miss – I know it might sound strange because early in the year, never asked this question, but do they miss him since he's gone the second time?
Yeah, they miss him now because, I think Cassian is finally starting to play the kind of game he can play in the last month, more controlled in the sense of not making the bad mistake at the wrong time. Sometimes Cassian will make just a boneheaded pass in a neutral zone or his own zone or get caught admiring one. You know, he can skate, and he's big, and he can thread the pass. And, you know, you're going to need him on the top line. I mean, if they get to the postseason, you're going to need him with the Sedins. You're going to need that net front presence. He's got some pretty decent hands, so that allows you to play, you know, Burrows on your second line. It allows you to play Verbata on your second line. But the big thing about Cassian is, you know, he's running out of rope here. His deportment hasn't been the greatest here in Vancouver. They did try to move him at the trade deadline, but they were looking for a player in return. That wasn't going to happen. So he's 24, guys. He's not old. He's got another year left at $2 million. So, you know, if Zach has his head on straight and plays well, you're bringing a guy back next year at $2 million, and that's good in the cap world. So it's all on him right now. But I would say of late they've missed him because you need a physical presence at this time of year.
Ben, is there any update on Ryan Miller? Progress there? Can we see him in the playoffs?
Well, you might. What he's been doing of late is he's been going out before practice in full gear and working with Rolly Malance, the goalie coach, just on movement, guys, not taking shots, you know, going down on the butterfly, going post to post. You know, that knee ligament sprain was pretty severe. It's a 4 to 6 week injury, and you know, it happened in February the 22nd when he was run into by teammate Yannick Hansen trying to break up a goal. I think the thing, just talking to some former goalies around the league, that what he's doing right now is to see, is there any pain there when he does his movements? Can they actually strengthen the ligament by getting some movement going there? The team, you know, they've got Colorado here tonight, Dallas here on Saturday, then a four-game road trip. I don't see Miller going on that road trip. But then they finish up with three games at home the following week, and I can see him practicing with the club that week. I can't see him playing. I could, just my own personal opinion. I don't know whether he would play one of the final regular season games, but he would certainly be an option come postseason. You know, the way Eddie Lack's playing, it's his net right now, and I think just knowing that, you know, you might have Ryan Miller available at some time, I would hold him in good stead. But, you know, you've made a tremendous financial investment in this guy, you know, $6 million for 3 years. So you're obviously not going to rush him back. Jacob Markstrom is more than capable of backing up Eddie Lack right now, but he is making progress.
Now, when he gets back and, you know, they say it a lot, let's say he's healthy. Yeah. Will they go back to him, or the way Lack's playing, can you risk, you know, even losing a playoff game for Miller to get sharp?
Yeah, I wouldn't risk it, guys. I think the problem with a knee sprain, it's not like a forward or a defenseman. You can put a brace on and away you go. I think the problem with goaltenders is that you're going to be tentative. You know, whether it's a groin injury or a knee injury, those are two really bad injuries to have. And Ryan Miller is kind of a hybrid. He likes to play very aggressively on top of the crease. Rolly Malanson likes his goaltenders a little bit deeper. But I think what happens, the natural tendency is maybe to be a little bit hesitant when guys are crowding your crease, so you're going to be backing up rather than maybe getting to the top of the paint and being a little bit more aggressive. I think that's one thing that Ryan Miller is probably going to struggle with initially. So if I'm the coach, I ride Eddie Lack until I absolutely need Ryan Miller.
Ben, you touched on him briefly earlier. Bo Horvat, how impressive has he been from start to finish? Because we know what it's like for young kids when they first come in. Have you seen a lot of growth there?
Tremendous amount of growth. You know, unfortunately for Bo Horvat, you know, he was the guy that got for Corey Schneider, and there was a lot of navel gazing in Vancouver about, is this all we got for Corey Schneider? The big thing with Bo Horvat is I always thought he thought the game well, but his foot speed was maybe questionable. And he spent so much time the last three summers back in London working with power skating instructors. It's not an issue anymore. You know, there was a play earlier this month where, you know, there was a loose puck and he was in a race with Brent Burns, who's pretty good defenseman for the Sharks, pretty fast. He danced around him, a bouncing puck, came across the top of the slot and put the puck back to where the goalie had left. And, you know, it was a pure skill move. And I think his confidence has just gone through the roof. But he's always been such a responsible player, which is what everybody liked about him. He leads him in faceoff percentage. He's a really good kid. You know, the funny thing about him, guys, he's still growing. He's 19. His weight is actually up, but his body fat is down. So he's getting stronger as the weeks go on, and his confidence is through the roof. And that line they have with Ronald Kennan, the Latvian, and Yannick Hansen has been as good as any fourth line I've seen in the league.
Ben, always great to catch up with you. We'll have to sit down one day and pen a few Bronte stories young in his career. So,
well, that would be an extended version of the late show, but be happy to do it, guys.
Okay, thanks, Coos. Ben. Have a good one.
Okay, take care.